Hello and welcome to PCB Chat, where we talk with experts across the printed circuit design, manufacturing, and electronics supply chain fields. I'm Mike Buto, editor of PCDNF and Circuits Assembly. This week's podcast is sponsored by PCB Update, the digital newsletter for the electronics industry. Get all the latest technical and business news related to PCB fab, design, and assembly. Subscribe at PCBUpdate.com. This week, we introduce a new series in our podcast called The Screw-Ups. In these segments, we will talk to experts in electronics manufacturing about specific problems they've encountered and offer up some potential solutions. My guest today is Tom Forsythe. Tom is Vice President of Kaizen Corporation, where his responsibilities include sales, marketing, and a host of other administrative duties. And our topic today is rinsing. Tom, what do you have for us?
Well, you know, rinsing is a funny thing, right? You know, we call them cleaning machines and in a cleaning process, but the last step is rinsing, and there's an old adage that says you're only as clean as your final rinse, and that's mostly true. What I thought I'd do today is sort of step through, why you'd think you might have an issue, and sort of the quick and dirty troubleshooting steps that are sort of the wise path to rectifying it.
So was there a particular problem that one of your customers encountered?
Well, it happens a lot. You know, most often it turns up with some kind of coating issue, to be quite honest, because coatings are themselves pretty robust and resilient technologies, but they're a little sensitive to surface contamination. So that is a common pop that people get, and that, well, gee, now I've got this failure on my coating side, and you know, where do I go? That's probably it's come up lately, and it comes up, you know, fairly steadily throughout the year as people encounter that problem.
And we're talking about conformal coatings.
Correct, conformal coatings. You know, again, generally the last step in the process, as I like to remind people, you know, cleaning is in that delicate spot where all the costs are mostly incurred, but revenue is just out of reach. And conformal coating is very much in that funny place.
Tom, I'd like to get into whether there's any specific coatings that pose more problems than others in a moment, but why don't you tell us about the problem of today?
The problem of today is the assembly shop has had some, they've identified this defect, they've got a coating issue, and now, okay, how do we make it go away? All eyes turn toward the cleaner generally is the first step, and often that may be the problem. So the key is to begin at the beginning, right? Where you begin first is you look at that. You come back to that old adage of you're only as clean as your final rinse. So you start there. You look at your rinse, you look at your equipment. And on the equipment side, you know, the first thing you have to realize is that when you purchase the equipment or you've qualified it on a particular assembly that you're making, chances are you ran some validation work to make sure it got the job done. That would be time, if it was an inline system, you know, a belt speed, certain temperatures and pressures settings. If there's a cleaning material involved, which is often the case, you know, gee, what percent concentration was it running at? What temperatures the rinse water as well as the wash water. Those are all those key settings. If you're in a batch system, again, you have some settings there, but also many of the batch systems on the rinse side use a technique of they measure the resistivity of the water and simply keep rinsing until they hit the magic number. And you want to check that if you were running it four or five of those cycles, which is quite common, that you don't find yourself at seven or eight today, that sort of thing. So you want to check and make sure all those parameters are where they're supposed to be, that there hasn't been some creep or some tweaking along the way with only the best of intentions, but here maybe that's contributing to the problem. Most shops won't find anything awry there because they're in control and everything's, you know, sort of going well. So next we take a little more scrutiny on the rinse system itself. You know, for most people, that rinse water supply is delivered locally. There's some generally pretty good sized bottles sitting next to an inline machine or smaller ones inside the batch systems. And, you know, it begins with checking when they were replaced. You know, most people on the operation side know that those bottles may last them a month or two, or in some cases longer. And ours is everything within norms. You know, they'll typically have a tag on them that says when they're last checked, or they'll have a series of entries on there when they're checked and make sure everything's within that pattern. Those same bottles will often have indicators on them. I mean, they tend to be pretty simplistic with colored lights, red and green. Sometimes there's a gauge there. You know, check those. If your bottles have lights on them and they're red on top, well, maybe we're not supplying good rinse water, which could cause a problem, right? Those are sort of the basic building blocks where you start. If everything's okay there, which in most shops, chances are it would be, right? Next, we move toward looking at the machine. You know, we're trying to rinse, and that means we need to make sure we're delivering the water to the parts. So on an inline, it's pretty easy. They tend to have glass panels that you can look in there without much difficulty. Make sure there's no big blockages. You know, if you've got an inch or two section of one of those manifolds with no water's coming out, that could cause a problem. These things happen. Sometimes labels are misapplied and they come off in the process and they can make their way into those manifolds and clog them up over from time to time. It has been known to happen. So that's kind of a key thing to check. It's a little trickier to check that on a batch cleaner. You tend to have less windows and it's a little harder to see. But by the same token, the manifolds or the spray bars that they have are really quite accessible. And with a flashlight, you can take a pretty good look and you know, you can tell whether there's a gap there or whether there's something clogging the nozzle. That's a really good key stuff that you really need to do to kind of make sure that we're doing okay. So now, the next step is, let's say we've checked our machine, our parameters are lined up, and we've checked our supply, and it's okay, and we've checked the delivery system, and there's no blockages there. You know, now, okay, well, that we've kind of checked through the easy things. Now we're a little more, there's a little more intrigue here. It's like, okay, now we're worried about potentially some contamination in the rinse stage. Contamination can come from loads of places. It could be some residual flux that make its way off the cards, could be a new adhesive or coating that's been applied to these cards upstream that for some reason is coming off, all kinds of things. And if for some reason it's just not getting picked out, it's residing. Maybe it's coating something in that rinse stage, and therefore it's constantly recontaminating it. Much like if you get some salad dressing on your hand and you don't actually go wash it off, you put a little bit of it on everything you touch, right? Or motor oil or something like that. So here, what we want to do is go into the rinse stage, and we can do the same thing in the batch cleaner because if you're having this problem, it'll have survived the washing part on the next cycle. And we want to really scrutinize the inside of the process. We want to look at the walls of the chamber, the glass that we were peering through, you know, lift it up. We want to take some white cloths and wipe those things down and see if we pick anything up. Is there any residue there? Is there something we could see, feel, touch, smell? Take a sharp edge, not too sharp that you're going to damage your machine. Sort of like an ice scraper on your windshield, you know, scrape on the edges on underneath things and look and see, do we get something? Because if we can turn up something there, well, then it becomes easy enough to, all right, we take it to the lab, whether that's in a supplier like us or your own lab, and you shoot it and you say, okay, here's what it is. You know, what kind of things are made of that, right? And you sort of backtrack and look for that source and that root cause. And I'd say that 99% of the problems that present themselves are resolved through this step of the process. Either you start out looking at the parameters that may have changed, and it's not that your process isn't working, but, well, gee, somebody turned off the heaters and you're supplying, room temperature rinse water instead of elevated temp water. Well, that can be a big swing. You know, in the wintertime, particularly up where you live, Mike, you know, that groundwater is pretty close to 50 degrees F coming out in the wintertime.
I don't think it's that warm.
if it's that warm, that's right. I mean, it's pretty darn cold. Yeah. And whereas elevated temp water is typically more like 130, 140 F, like 65 C. You know, that's a long way from, you know, 50 degrees is like 15 C. So, you know, those are, you know, when you go through these steps, you know, this will identify the challenge. If your rinsing system is having some kind of flaw or fault in it, this little checklist will get you there. And of course, if you find some contamination, then it becomes a little more challenging to figure out, okay, what's the source of that contamination? You know, is it something that is part of the system itself? Are you, is your cleaning material not doing its job? Is something coming out of the source of that cleaning material? Or is it some unknown contaminant that somehow has invaded your process that you didn't even know was there? That often is the case, where something new's been introduced, and lo and behold, it takes up residence in your cleaning machine, and you just contaminate everything else that goes by. So, pretty short, clear list, but it's and not a super lengthy process, frankly. You know, space for an hour or two, you can work through all of this and really pin it down and nail it down quite well.
Tom, are there any types of materials or conformal coatings that might be more susceptible to problems downstream?
In general, no. Our experience is these are independent events. Now, when they show themselves, you know, recognize that those coatings are made of materials too. And if the contaminant is something that is more aggressive toward one versus the other, it may either worsen the problem and then it may cause a defect, or frankly, if it's a trace material, might just be absorbed by the coating and disappear. That's a clearly a random number generator sort of thing, where, you know, if you don't know what that contaminant making its way in there, you certainly don't know what's going to go wrong. If it's the water supply side or the mechanical side, you know, that's very independent. And, you know, the coatings are simply responding to the fact that there's some contamination on the surface that prevents their coating process from working properly. That whole idea of a clean, smooth surface that is causing the wetting action on the coatings to be impacted some way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. That concludes our first episode of The Screw-Ups. I want to thank Tom Forsythe from Kaizen for coming on.
My pleasure. We're glad to be here.
For PCB Chat, I'm Mike Buto. Have a nice day.